Welcome back to the ClearAdmit MBA Admissions Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Georgetown McDonough's MBA program. This is your host, Jeanette Brown, and I'm joined today by Alex Brown, a longtime member of the ClearAdmit team. Because we're in the thick of interview season right now, this is the second of our new episodes designed to help you prepare. Alex, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
And today is a treat for people who are preparing for MBA interviews because you are going to walk us through seven of the hardest admissions interview questions they could face and how to prepare for them, right?
That's the plan.
So, talk about number one. Describe a failure you were involved in.
This, I think, is a bit of a tricky question to address. It's also a very common question, as those listeners that listen to our five most common interview questions will realize, because obviously I'll be repeating some of my advice here. But oftentimes, candidates come to the interview really ready to tell their story and ready to tell their story in a very positive fashion, which is appropriate quite clearly. So they can often sort of stumble a little bit when they're asked directly to describe a failure and a failure that you were directly involved in. So I think it's just very important to prepare for that line of questioning and to be confident when asked. And it would be highly unusual if a candidate hadn't failed at something or been involved in a group that had failed at something. And you could almost argue that if a candidate hasn't failed in their career and in their life to date, they perhaps haven't tried hard enough and hadn't sort of gotten out of their comfort zone a little bit. So failure oftentimes is a symptom of people that are actually quite ambitious. So when you get this question, hopefully you have an anecdote that you can portray, and often it will come from your professional experience. And hopefully you can sort of also describe the lessons that you've learned from that experience. And you can show some growth from that experience to the present day and maybe another example and another experience subsequent to the failure that does show that there were lessons learned and applied in that sort of second experience. So I think that's a very good way to approach that type of question.
And you would recommend that applicants draw from professional experience if they can?
I think professional experience is definitely fair game for this type of question, as it is for most questions. If there's a personal experience that is impactful and or maybe it's in your sort of volunteer work or extracurriculars, that might well be fair game too. You want to try to find a pretty substantial experience from which to draw, and that's the same as it applies to all the other types of questions. You know, which of your experiences, both professional and personal, really help to address whatever line of questioning that the interviewer has. Obviously, this is a professional degree that you're interviewing for, and therefore it makes sense to, if there is a professional experience, to draw from that. Obviously, you don't want a professional experience that was particularly catastrophic to the organization. That might create some fear for the admissions committee.
Well, that's a good point. Thank you for elaborating on that. So, tough question number two, what other schools are you applying to? Why is this hard?
Yeah, I hate this question. What other schools you're applying to? I think it's unfair on many levels. Principally, the candidate really doesn't know how the information from that question is being used. So, given that, it creates some uncertainty for the candidate. And there's definitely schools that will use this question to really understand how their school fits in the scheme of things and whether, if they admitted you, you would attend. So I think from that perspective, it's very unfair. Some schools will say that they're simply asking this question to get a sense from a marketing standpoint of where their school fits, and they only use it sort of as a data point for them to understand their school better. But I'm a little suspicious in that regard. In terms of how to answer it, I mean, I would say the first thing is you need to be as honest. You just need to be very honest about it. Sort of, you know, which other schools you apply, don't try to fake things. Even though schools can't actually ascertain the answers. They're not sharing this information themselves across colleagues, so you don't have to worry about that. But you should answer honestly, like you should answer any questions honestly. What you need to do is really sort of show your strategy for the application process in terms of how you answer this question, so that schools can understand why they were selected, and amongst peer schools and other schools, why you selected those other schools, and see how thoughtful, I guess, the candidate is in terms of their application strategy. To finish off the answer, you really want to circle back and identify why that particular school that you're interviewing with is a great fit for you, so that you can really show that you've done your diligence and research, and if you were admitted to the school, that you can really see a compelling reason why you would attend.
Right. Every school wants to feel special, like you have put in the time to know what makes them special and actually feel like you would fit there well. I think that's great advice. Difficult question number three. This feels a little bit like a failure question, but it's distinct. Describe a conflict at work and your role in it.
Yeah, this is tricky. Kind of like the failure question, typically conflicts don't turn out too well. Again, you're describing an experience that's not necessarily have a positive outcome like many of the other experiences and anecdotes that you want to present in the interview when you talk about leadership and teamwork and various other sort of positive aspects of your candidacy. So you've got to identify a conflict at work. Maybe you and your colleagues were working on a particular project and there was some disagreement on the path for that project to go forward, and you had some good ideas in terms of why the pathway that you've envisioned makes sense, but you have other colleagues that see a different pathway, and that creates some kind of conflict. So you would want to address that, and presumably you would want to make the case for why you believed at the time that your pathway was the right path going forward. That would be fine. What you don't want to do this type of question is really sort of identify colleagues and sort of throw them under the bus, as it were, and sort of basically trash talk peers and so on and so forth. Because what you've got to realise for questions like this, and again for the failure question, we're looking at your emotional intelligence as much as your other attributes about yourself, and we're looking at your self-awareness, and we're looking at sort of how you understand how your actions and your influence impacts others, and so on and so forth. So you need to take all that into consideration as you're planning to address a question that can be this sort of sensitive, as it were. So factor in how you can bring your emotional intelligence into the answer. And then, you could possibly even go as far as if there's a case where you ultimately ended up mentoring some of your peers and so on and so forth subsequent to the conflict, and then showed that how you all worked together positively on a subsequent project and so on and so forth. So there's various rooms to show there's some growth from this conflict. But I think the number one thing to avoid is throwing someone under the bus.
Good advice in MBA admissions and in life. What concerns do you have about getting an MBA? Is this a question that applicants are faced with frequently?
Yeah, I think this is a tricky question. Hence, it's one, we consider it one of the tougher questions. I would say, though, that it's not one of the most frequently asked questions. So you can expect a failure type question to come into play. For some schools, you can absolutely expect them to ask you what other schools you're applying. But this question, what are you most concerned about going for the MBA, is more rare. Now, in terms of answering it, I think there are valid concerns that the different types of candidates can have, right? When you're going for an MBA, you're spending a considerable amount of money investing in your career, a couple of hundred thousand in some cases. You're taking 2 years out of a career, and so on and so forth. So there's certainly risk involved in making those decisions. And I think, especially if you're in a more of a non-traditional field, you can make the case that it creates some anxiety. versus someone that's maybe coming in from consulting, going back out into consulting, where the pathway is a little bit more traditional and potentially appropriate. In terms of sort of how do you address the concern, if you do have that concern, is you want to focus on your goals, your long term goals, your vision and your ambition, and show that whilst this is a risk for you, you have ambition, you have a certain set of goals, and getting the MBA you feel is the best pathway forward to accomplish those goals. So sure, there's risk involved any time we make a decision, and especially a decision that affects our career, as this would. But if you do a good job of tying everything together with your goals, and you have a strong goal focus, and you have some ambition and so on and so forth, I think you can overcome this question quite easily.
You already know you're capable of greatness. But wondering just how much you can achieve isn't enough. To truly have an impact on the world, you have to go find out exactly what you're made of. It's what sets the doers apart from the merely curious. With a curriculum designed to prepare you for the global stage, plus access to all Washington, D.C. has to offer, Georgetown's McDonough School of Business is the perfect launchpad for your career. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MBA.
And to your point, they are valid concerns that applicants will approach an MBA program with. So the schools aren't going to be surprised to have you articulate concerns.
No, and quite honestly, even like in today's environment, you might be an international candidate applying to a US business school, and maybe your concern is, will you get a job in the US after graduation? And with all the sort of geopolitical environment that's occurring right now, there is definitely a higher risk in that regard. So if that's the case, so if you're an international student, that would be an obvious answer. And what you need to do then is show not only that you have the fortitude to go on and hopefully you get the required visas that you would need, but maybe even offering a plan B and showing that if you ultimately end up returning to your home country, that you have a plan in place where the US MBA makes sense for that plan. So just recognizing that not everything in life is so simple and straightforward, and getting an MBA and a significant investment should I think in some cases offer up some concerns for candidates, and just being able to alleviate those concerns with your plan and your ambition.
The point that you made, especially about international students and their perhaps considering presenting a plan B for post-MBA employment, given uncertainty around visas, is great advice. And it echoes advice that I've heard career services directors at top schools offer to candidates as well. So thanks for highlighting that. Moving right along, tough question number 5. How would those close to you describe you in 3 words?
I think this is kind of a fun question, but tricky in the sense that it sometimes catches people by surprise, sort of a veiled sort of question that looks fun, but actually is a little bit tricky. So what you want to do, and it could be sort of how do 3 friends describe you, or how do your friends describe you in 3 words, how do your colleagues describe you, how does your family describe you, or so on and so forth. So it can be any group, and it could be 3 words, it could be 5 words, it could be 2 words. So there are plenty of variants of this type of question. And I think quite honestly, the best way to address the answer is to ask your friends, colleagues, and so on and so forth to come up with the 3 words that they would use to describe you. And then to really understand sort of what anecdotes that you can use to back up those assertions. So you don't just want to throw out the 3 words when answering the question, but you want to make sure that you can follow up, right?
And kind of bring them to life with a story.
Absolutely. And this is how you answer any of these questions, right? So always support your answers with anecdotes. So it's all about show, don't tell. So tell, obviously, what are the three words, but then show by producing the anecdotes that support whatever those three words are. And what you want to do, you know, prior to interviewing with the schools is to understand sort of what characteristics really resonate with the particular school. You know, look at their mission statements, look at other aspects of the school, and really sort of understand what resonates with the school. And then hopefully some of your characteristics and some of your descriptors will directly resonate to what the school is seeking.
Sounds like a perfect approach. Let's move on to tough question number 6. How will you take advantages of the resources we provide at School X?
This question actually is a bit of a variant of why School X, right? So, which you'll get pretty much asked in any interview, you know, why Wharton, why Chicago, why Haas, or whatever it might be. I think it's subtle and tricky in as much as it asks you directly, all right, we are who we are. You should know who we are because you should have done your research. So how are you now going to make the most of this particular experience? And if you haven't done the research ahead of the interview and you just sugarcoat and surface level say, well, you know what, I go, join the finance club and I lead the finance conference.
Fantastic. And last but not least, people you remember the most break the rules. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think this is a tricky question in as much as, you know, you could answer it in multiple ways. And we want, you know, business schools want people with sort of an entrepreneurial mindset, people that graduate from their program, that go on to do wonderful things. And oftentimes to do wonderful things, you have to sort of shift the status quo. In whatever field that you're in, right? So from an innovative standpoint, you're shifting the status quo so you can make more impact and so on and so forth. Obviously, business schools want those types of people. The risk in answering this question is, do you really want to come across as being a rule breaker? So that's the other side of the question. And you know, business schools are clearly very sensitive to this based on issues, you know, the sort of business issues that we've suffered over the course of the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, whether it's the financial crisis, whatever it might be, where people clearly broke rules. And because they broke rules, it created havoc in the markets and it caused a lot of people a lot of hardship. So, in terms of how I would answer this question, I would want to come across as someone that's an innovator, someone that will make an impact and do things differently. But I would also want to come across as someone who's a rule changer and advocates for changing rules and lobbies for rule changes where appropriate, rather than a rule breaker, which is actually potentially more of a criminal activity and would get you into serious trouble. So just making sure, and I think this goes to any question that you're asked, listen to the question very, very carefully. Because with this particular question, right from the outset, you're thinking, oh, they're asking me about what sort of an entrepreneur I'd be or what sort of entrepreneurial thinking I'd have and innovation, so on and so forth. I've got great answers for that. And then you won't get to the final aspect of the question because you just listened to the first aspect. You won't deal with the rule-breaking aspect, and that could set you into trouble, right? And I say this without suggesting that admissions interviewers necessarily are trying to trip you up. Oftentimes, again, the majority of candidates that business schools are interviewing are perfectly admissible, and they would do reasonably well in their programs. So they've got to pare down that admissible group to the few that they admit. So if there is a bit of a tricky aspect to a question, they might use that to sort of help them in their selection process.
Yes, and it's a high-stakes admissions process, and their questions are understandably nuanced. But thank you very much for helping to break down some of that nuance and give our listeners, I think, really strategic approaches for preparing. Anything in closing?
I think the best way to prepare for your interviews is sort of as you would prepare for any kind of interview. Just know your story. You've applied to this school. This school, if they're inviting you for interviews, some schools you can interview without being invited, but in a lot of instances, the school has decided to select you for the interview, which is a fantastic step forward. So you should feel really good about yourself going into the interview. You've done a lot of preparation already just by writing the application, because the interviewer is just wanting to know more about you, and a lot of that material is already addressed in your application. Feel, you know, obviously get prepared, but feel like you've got a good basis to prepare from by reviewing your application materials, reviewing and updating your CV or resume or whatever, and so forth. And you know, on Clear Admit, we have a whole bunch of sort of interview archives, so you can look at the sort of typical questions that each of the schools asks and so forth. So know your story. Secondly, really know the school before you interview. That's super, super important. And I would say that for schools like Harvard and Stanford, that aspect might be least important because, you know, they're the top, the cream of the crop. So if you're interviewing with them, there's almost an assumption that you want to go there if you're selected. But, you know, for many other schools, when they're interviewing you, they're also assessing, do they think you will come if you are admitted? So some of these questions that I've addressed today help them understand that. But really do your research and know the school inside out before you interview. I think that's really important. And then finally, I'd be very deliberate before I interviewed in terms of coming up with three or four substantial anecdotes, mostly from your professional career, but some may certainly come from your personal life and your volunteer work and extracurriculars. Identify three or four anecdotes that really highlight examples that you will want to share based on the types of questions then the interviewer will ask. So again, going back to that idea, show, don't tell. Always back up what you tell with real strong anecdotes. So going over those anecdotes is a great way of preparing. And then finally, be a little nervous and enjoy yourself. It's a fantastic opportunity to have a conversation with someone, hopefully that's going to help shape the next part of your career. So best of luck.
Terrific advice on many levels. And just, you reminded me that Chad Losey, who leads admissions for Harvard Business School, shared in a podcast recently that he gets nervous interviewing candidates. So I think it's so important that you stress that candidates give themselves a pat on the back for getting to the interview, and be a little nervous, but do your best. Terrific advice. Thanks again for joining us. And also thanks for highlighting the Clear Admit interview archive. It's a terrific resource as you're preparing for interviews, but it works best when you pay it forward and leave your own reports once you're done. So check it out.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Jeanette.
Take care.
Take care.